Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
A Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm one of your hosts, Bree.
And I'm the other one, Abby.
And it's a beautiful day to podcast. So
if this is your first time listening, hello.
Oh yeah, thank you for hitting play.
Yeah, we are basically deep diving every single episode of Grey's Anatomy, and we are currently in season 8.
Right. So there are a couple ways that you can help support the podcast. If you've ever heard of a little site called Patreon, www.patreon.com/theoncallroom, you can become a member and donate. There are 3 levels, intern, resident, and attending. And if you were an intern this holiday season,
oh, yeah,
you got a little something fun in the mail from us.
And if you're international, it might still be coming.
Who knows if it made it?
Yeah.
So we sent out a little postcard to everyone this at the end of the year with some fun photos of us in front of a Christmas tree.
Yeah, we had a photo shoot. It was interesting. It felt like being in like a 1-hour photo lab or like JCPenney's.
Yes.
Because we were in front of a Christmas tree and we had martini glasses.
Yes.
With sweet berry wine.
Sweet, sweet berry wine. And it was a lot of fun. So that's a fun thing that we put out every year. And you get that for only $2 a month.
Totally.
On top of that, you get to chat in a private Facebook group with all of the other listeners who are interns and higher about current grays, about previous grays, about
first dates.
About new other jobs. TV shows sometimes.
Yeah, we talk about literally everything.
Yeah. We have some people who put up polls.
Yep.
And everyone's just really kind and inclusive, and it's a great way to chat with people around the world.
Yeah, I've also found that even if people have differing opinions, they still tend to like respect mm-hmm. the other person's opinion. There's not been any name calling yet.
No.
I would intervene immediately.
Absolutely.
Put them in a timeout.
Yeah, there'd be like a hold on their account.
Yeah. We also offer for the $5, you get bonus episodes once a month. Which it's fun during the current Grey's season because we like to try and give you like our predictions or our thoughts.
Yes. Sometimes we do like deep dives of characters.
Yep, we should do that again.
Yeah.
And you also can call Time of Death. We hand out our voicemail numbers so you can leave voicemails for the podcast. And then for attending, you get a whole lot of shit.
Yeah, for $10 a month, you can co-host the podcast. You can chat with us on a Zoom meeting once a month. You get that episode a day early.
Oh, yeah.
You can also call and leave a voicemail about thoughts about the podcast or questions you might have for us. I'd kind of like to start a segment like Ask Abby and Bree, you know?
Yeah.
Like that would be kind of fun.
Maybe like once a month I can put in the Facebook group. Like questions, FAQ, ready, set, go. We'll answer it on the next pod.
Yeah. And either maybe we'll do a bonus episode or we'll do it in the beginning of the...
That's fun. You know why? Because it's fun to talk about yourself.
It's a great time. And on top of all of that, you get everything that we previously stated. I also wanted to just mention, we don't really say this that much, but $2 a month is less than what you would probably spend on a coffee at Starbucks.
Oh,
so
yeah.
If you just want to try it out, you can start at $2, check out the Facebook group, see how you feel about it. You can cancel the next month if it's not what you thought, or you can also raise it to resident or attending. So if you're like, I don't really know if I want to jump in as attending, just jump in as an intern and kind of see what the community is like.
I think, you won't miss those $2 even if you did 1 or 2 months.
Like, yes.
It's kind of like sometimes you lose some quarters in the laundry.
Right.
And then you find them a few weeks later and you're almost like, this change is annoying to me. I don't want to put it in my pocket, so it lives in your laundry room. Does anyone else have a savings account in their laundry room?
Oh, yeah, same. Or in a jar somewhere or a box.
So collect your laundry money, become a patron for 1 month, and test the waters.
Yeah, and then because it goes to a good cause and it helps the podcast. So
yeah. We are close to our goal. We're hoping to be getting $700 a month, which will in turn get Bree and I more resources, basically, to be able to record a 10-minute after show called Post Stop that patrons will get. So basically, when we hit stop, we're going to not actually hit stop and record the next 10 minutes to see what happens.
Yes.
So that's really fun. If you want to get a hold of us, you can do so on our contact form at www.theoncallroompod.com. You can also follow us on Instagram at @theoncallroompod, where sometimes we post hilarious Grey's fashion or just like funny things in the news.
Yeah. And another, before we get to the reviews, I just wanted to mention A-Day. Mm-hmm. Because if you were a patron and you got our little postcards, Abby and I are wearing all A-Day in those photos.
We're wearing the leggings, we are wearing the turtleneck and this really comfy t-shirt. Bree spilled wine on it, and if you
it's
look
gonna
closely,
wash right out.
You, if you look closely, it rolls right out the shirt.
It's a great material.
It's a great advertisement you did by actually spilling. You're like a mattress commercial where you pour wine.
That was not on purpose.
But we love it a lot. And our new code, like if you've been listening to old episodes, that code is no longer active. It is
the on-call room.
Yep. It used to be this other one that I won't say, but that won't work anymore. So, and if you ever are having problems with it, just immediately reach out to us on Instagram. Some of you have, and we'll get back to you right away. And we love the workers there. I've met some of them and they're really good about changing things for us if it's not working. So it gets you 20% off and it gets us money to support the podcast.
Yeah,
so
which is awesome. And it gets you a nice wardrobe.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
One of the things that we preach all the time is how much leaving a review on iTunes helps us. And so we encourage you to do so if you haven't already. And as a little incentive, we will tell you each week who we are leaving a review for, because we like to support podcasts.
Yes, because we are a podcast.
Because we are, yeah. Although I keep feeling like I leave one, like the one you left, you did.
I did Radiolab.
Which doesn't need any help.
No.
And the one I chose was Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend.
Which also doesn't need
help. He's Conan O'Brien. But I have always kind of thought Conan was quirky and like funny. I don't watch his show, but I'd watch like clips.
Sure.
And I don't stay up that late is what really it comes down to. And I started listening to his podcast and I'm obsessed. He's so funny. I feel like it's a little bit lighter than like Armchair Expert or one of those, like, cause he is just like, he's constantly doing improv in the middle of his interviews.
Yeah.
Some standout ones for me are there's like a 5-part short series with Dana Carvey and it's purely them improvising. So like if that annoys you, don't listen to those ones because he also did one with David Letterman, which was interesting because like he replaced David Letterman. And so like hearing them talk about that and basically David Letterman talking about like how unhappy he was at the end of his career was really interesting.
Can you give us an idea about how like on average, how long each episode is?
Yeah, so some, like Hillary Clinton and Chelsea were just on together. And like ones with like really, like Michelle Obama was on too. Those were like max 40 minutes.
Right, because their publicist is like,
yeah. But like the David Letterman one or the Dana Carvey one are like an hour and a half long. So yeah, it's
so
great.
For a nice commute or you can pause it in the middle of the day and pick back up.
Yeah, some are really weird. Like Jeff Goldblum was on
one. Oh yeah, I bet that was
and
odd.
They just like talk like they're sexual to each other the whole time. Like, I mean, Jeff Goldblum is like I feel like he's just innately like always a sexy vibe coming off of him, even though I don't actually know if I find him sexy. He just is like, I feel like he's always in a porno or something. Yeah. That's his energy he gives out. Mm-hmm. And that one was good. I don't know. They're all just really good. The Hillary Clinton one really made me smile.
Yeah.
And I just love them. The funniest one though was Bill Hader.
Oh, I love Bill
Hader.
They
improv so much. And like,
they improv so hard.
They improv so fucking hard. But I love them. I give them 5 scalpels.
Perfect. So that's really nice.
I thought of something to talk to you about, and then I lost it.
Shit.
In my moment of talking about Conan O'Brien.
You were just struck by
I was struck by how his
did
tall
you
white,
hear his
also, he calls himself that he has the body of, like, a tall, white Irish woman. Like, he always refers to himself as, like, a ghostly Irish woman.
Did you listen to his interview with on Fresh Air? Terry Gross interviewed him.
Maybe. Probably, but it was a long time
ago. It kind
of
bothered me because like, I feel like, okay, like, I get it. Conan's a comedian. Uh-huh. And I, like, comedic relief. But there were like, there were moments where like Terry Gross was like really trying to get to something. And some of the shit he was saying was really self-deprecating.
Yeah.
And that type of humor doesn't land as well with me anymore because I used to, I mean like, I don't know.
I bet he was super fucking nervous.
I'm sure.
And so I wonder if that was like a thing. Have you ever listened to his podcast?
No, I haven't.
I encourage you to because the intro is with his like assistant. Her name's Soma Obsessian. I think I'm saying it right. She's amazing and like puts him in his place.
Nice.
And then Matt Gourley is the producer. And like the three of them, they both basically—
Dude, what if we had an assistant and producer?
Right, just someone sitting here doing the computer part?
Yeah, and then also being like, your levels are fucked. guys are fucked.
Does someone want to do that? That'd be really fun. If it was like the perfect person.
Yeah. And we can't pay you.
Sometimes they'd chime in. You'd hear them in the background. You'd be like, yeah, like Wobby Wob. Come on in, Franklin. Like, come sit here. And
like Wobby Wob does.
Like Wobby Wob. Yeah. Yeah. So good.
Or even Monica. I feel like in interviews, I feel like, and this is armchair expert.
Yeah.
I feel like Monica doesn't say a ton all the time during interviews.
When she goes, yeah. She does that laugh sometimes. She does. I'm like, are you nervous?
I don't know if she's nervous or she just doesn't think it's funny.
It's like, and so, sounds so fake.
Yeah. And she can't like... God bless her. I love her dearly.
Okay. Also things that came up in the Facebook group that I will speak on. Someone asked if we'd seen Frozen 2.
Okay. I've never seen Frozen 1.
So I said that as well because I hadn't. And then we have Disney Plus now and I was like, I should watch it. Whatever. I was editing. It's really great.
Oh, I believe it.
Really great. Like I loved Moana like because I felt like it was like not about men or like it wasn't about a romance or whatever. And Frozen had the same vibes.
Okay.
And the music is really good.
Oh, like, yeah.
Yeah. And so I was just amazed by Kristen Bell singing.
She has great voice.
Yeah. And then so I haven't seen Frozen 2 yet, but I did listen to some of the songs. And one of them had me crying. Like I don't even know the premise other than that Kristen Bell's character was depressed. And it's like about being in grief and feeling grief. And she's alone in the woods. And I was like really sad. It was also after therapy.
Well, yeah, that, I mean, too soon.
Too soon.
That brings up a little thing that I meant to tell you. So I spent most of my weekend alone. And like, I think it was Saturday night. I had some red wine and I put my AirPods in and I was laying under the Christmas tree alone, looking up, listening to the Moana soundtrack. Sobbing.
Is it the part when she crosses the sea to touch?
I am Moana. That was like, just sobbing. And I told my friend, I can't remember which friend I told this. And he was like, honestly, if it was anyone else, like I would ask if you were okay. But because it's you, I was like, no, I was having the time of my life. Like crying to them.
Getting in touch with feelings.
Yeah. Like I'm not in a bad place.
No, by choice. You were choosing to go there. Yeah. Does that mean like?
Yeah. Yeah.
My question is, you're alone. Why weren't you listening to it just on the speakers?
Well, because I think I was cleaning the apartment.
Okay.
And so I was like moving around. And I don't know. I've started to like listening to music just on my headphones.
It's fun until you get murdered.
Well, I'm just in my house.
I know.
Am I going to get murdered in my house?
I'm always like, I won't hear.
Yeah.
Which is probably better. I'll have no fear.
But I feel like if I was listening to it on the stereo, it would be really loud too.
That's true. I do.
I don't know. And then you can just do the tap tap on your ear to next song.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
I like the, like, I will, when she's crossing the, like, sea and she, like, touches the lava monster thing.
Yeah.
That's where I get really, like, whatever the music says there, I can't remember.
Yeah.
But I love it.
Also, when the grandma, like, singing to her. Yeah,
too much.
Yeah.
But in Frozen 2, Frozen as well.
Yeah.
The first one. Jonathan Groff plays a character and
the snowman, right?
No, he plays Hans. I think his name is like the guy, one of the guys. The snowman is Josh Gad.
Right, that's what
Jonathan
I was thinking.
Jonathan Groff is the king in Hamilton. He is in Spring Awake. He's the original Spring Awakening.
Yep.
His voice is fucking like, it's like butter. Mm-hmm. Like not fucking butter. It is.
It's like fucking a cheese board.
It's like, shout out. No, it's so smooth. And like, do you ever watch Mindhunter? He's on Mindhunter.
Yes.
That's him.
Okay. Yes. I love him so much.
Same.
Okay. I looked him up. I was watching Mindhunter.
Yeah.
Looked him up, realized he was gay and got really sad. And then I had to step back and be like, I was never going to meet this guy anyway. Like, I had no chance with him.
But he's so, like, approachable. Like,
yeah, but isn't it weird how your mind does that when you're, like...
Oh, yeah, I still am sad about it. Like, that he would never be into me. But he... I, like, played his voice for Jake, and I was like, Jake, as, like, a straight male, does his voice at all make you just, like, think that maybe you could be going the other way? And he was, like, not in the mood to play this game at all. And he was like... And so, but his voice, his like talking voice is so, I think you'd like Frozen because his voice is just unreal.
We have it downloaded. Like I need to watch it. I just haven't got to it. I've been watching, well, I don't know that it's a Christmas movie, but it is cold.
What?
Frozen.
Oh.
It's not a Christmas movie
at
all.
I thought you were saying what you've been watching.
Well, because I was going to say
you should watch it.
Because I've been watching Christmas movies.
It felt appropriate.
Okay.
I feel like watching it again tonight. I need to see the second one. It's really good.
Yeah.
And the characters are just like real and have flaws and like it's really beautiful. That's all I know.
Disney has really come around, hasn't it?
Yeah.
They're trying.
Yeah. Also, I feel like when we start talking about this episode, there are things that I feel like don't hold up as well.
In Grey's Anatomy?
Yeah. Like in this episode. Interesting. But yeah, I don't know. Frozen, that's really what I'm into. Is just Frozen in musicals. Oh, can we really quick talk about our Spotify Wrapped? Because no one cares about this, but I think it's incredible.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Who is your top artist?
Of the decade?
Of the decade.
Hamilton.
The whole cast.
Which is so funny to me. Because that means that like, I didn't start listening till like late this decade. That means I fucking fucked the shit out of Hamilton for it to be my decade top artist.
When did you get Spotify? Did it say?
I got Spotify, I think in 2013.
Okay. Yeah. I got it in 2012.
Yeah. I think so. Like a year after.
I was an early adapter.
Yeah. Right. So, I don't think I had money to pay for it. That was why I wanted it, but I was so fucking broke. I couldn't pay $7 a month.
Hey, but look at you now.
Yeah. Paying $7 a month.
What?
I think it's like 12 now.
What was your artist of this year? Was it also Hamilton?
Hamilton was on there. I think it was Maggie Rogers.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
Yeah.
Like you're a cool girl.
Yeah. Like, and like Light On was my like number one song.
Nice.
But also, okay, this is really sad to me. And I feel like you would be so disappointed if this happened to you. Because we look forward to this every year. Yeah. So my 2019, not like the decade one, but the playlist comes out. And I start listening to it and I don't recognize any of the music. And I'm like, what the fuck? Well, a couple months ago on our Sonos, our like Pandora went down. So I started using my Spotify on these random playlists of like genre music. And we play them every fucking day. So my Spotify thinks.
At work, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh.
So my Spotify thinks that like I like these songs. Sad. So it's all really random shit that I don't even listen to.
But you have been listening to on repeat at work.
Exactly.
That's very sad.
It's really, I was like, I have to change this because I was really disappointed. My decade one was better. And then
I didn't know any of the people.
And then I just started listening to like 2018 and 17 and 16 because I was like, whatever.
Here's my sad story. My top artist of the decade was, drumroll, Justin Bieber.
How is that a thing?
Because the song Sorry, which came out in 2016.
You fucked the shit out of it.
I think because, do you remember the music video?
It was so good.
I wanted to dance like that. So I constantly listened to it. And like, that was like my like dance in my house.
I remember.
Song. Yeah. So that's, and I like, cause that was the only song. And there was another one that came out that year. But either way, like, I'm like, of the decade?
I know. Isn't it weird to think of that's how.
That song made me feel better about it because that music video was dope. Like, it was good. But anyways, and then my artist of the year was, what was it?
Wasn't it some Spanish rap or something? Or Daddy?
No, I can't remember what my artist of the year was. But here's my sad thing is my playlist, because I've been constantly listening to the top 100 and 100, just like every time I drive.
Yeah.
It's basically that playlist. Like, there's maybe 10, 15 songs that aren't from that.
Yeah.
So it's just the same playlist again.
Also, yours, like, the Harry Potter thing.
What it was. That was my top artist was Imogen Heap?
Yeah.
Imogen Heap, which I was so confused. When it came up, I was like, I haven't listened to Hide and Seek in years. Yeah. Like, why is that it?
And then, where are we?
And then I realized that it was because they do the Cursed Child soundtrack. Yeah. And that was okay. That's my working playlist.
Yeah, so that's fine.
But yeah, the whole, that one you have to listen to in order because each song leads into the next. So when you listen to it on the random playlist, it's like, bah! Like it ends very abruptly.
Yeah, that's,
But anyways, so it's okay. It wasn't my best year.
Wasn't my best year either, but.
We always have next year.
Yeah. Hamilton was still on there, which I'm like, damn, I'm really, I got to find something else to listen to.
Showtunes was my number one. Latin was my, or no, Showtunes was my number two. Latin was my number one.
I think mine was like folk rock was my number one. Oh my God. Wait, John's. I bet I can find this really fast. Talk about something.
I'll talk about that. My dad's was beach music and something else that was like really weird and very dad-like. It was like mellow.
It wasn't Jimmy Buffett.
Oh, that was, I mean, that's the theme. Pat Daly was in there as well.
Okay, so this is John's top songs. And I literally was like, are you going through something? His top song was Suffering. Then Red Eyes. Pain, Holding On, and Up All Night. I was like, what the fuck is going on with you? But what he said was, he's like, I don't know why he chose those, or it chose those songs, because it was like the War on Drugs and like Sharon Van Etten and like Beach House. It was like all these bands. He was like, I listened to the albums and it must have just chose those songs. Because he was like, I don't just listen to these songs. Like,
are they like early in the
album? They must be.
Do you know what I mean? So
yeah.
Like, yeah.
But like Suffering, Red Eyes, Pain, Holding On, Up All Night.
Wow, that says something.
I was like, John, you are, your number, it's number one song of the year was Suffering. I was like, I'm so sorry.
I loved all the memes about it where people were like, oh, I don't care what yours is. Post theirs thinking like, but actually I loved seeing everyone's.
Yeah, I think it's fun.
I had one year where The Lonely Island was my top artist.
Oh, that's weird. That's a weird.
It was when Popstar came out and I loved that soundtrack. Yeah.
I had like Run the Jewels on mine last year. I was like, I've never once listened to it. See, I think Spotify gets confused sometimes.
I don't know. There was also that girl that tweeted like, wow, this is so accurate. And people are like, yeah, it's data. Like they didn't guess. Like, it's actually data, so.
It's anyways. Actually data.
Well, should we wrap up this and move into our discussion?
Sounds good to me.
Okay, see you in a minute, listeners. We're back.
Okay, this is season 8, episode 3 and 4. Take the Lead, and What Is It About Men? I can do the first monologue.
Perfect.
Take the lead. You work, you study, you prepare. Months and years leading to one day. The day when you step up. On that day, you have to be ready for anything. But there's one thing you can never quite prepare for. The day when you step down. Ooh, chief. Sometimes it happens in an instant. We step up, we become a leader, we see a path forward. We see a path and we take it, even when we have no idea where we are going. Meredith Grey.
Perfect. This one is read by Derek Shepherd, Richard Weber, Alex Grev, Jackson Avery, Mark Sloan, and Owen Hunt. I will not be doing their voices.
Unfortunately.
There are distinct differences between male and female brains. Female brains have a larger hippocampus, which usually makes them better at retention and memory. Male brains have a bigger parietal cortex, which helps them fending off an attack. Male brains confront challenges differently than female brains. Women are hardwired to communicate with language, detail, empathy. Men, not so much. It doesn't mean that we're any less capable of emotions. We can talk about our feelings. It's just that most of the time we'd really rather not. Be a man. People say it all the time. But what does that even mean? Is it about strength? Is it about sacrifice? Is it about winning? Maybe it's simpler than that. You have to know when not to man up. Sometimes it takes a real man to set his ego aside, admit defeat, and simply start all over again. The end.
All right. Shotgun workup. We have Ruth Bennett. She has appendicitis, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. Then there's Avery's Pete's patient who has a cleft lip. Arizona's patient has esophageal atresia. Okay. Sam Kenton, chronic mesenteric ischemia. Rob Colvin, aneurysm. Carter, broken toes and a splenic laceration. Keith Hitchens, ear amputation, C6 burst fracture and an epidural bleed. And hulking patient,
hulking.
Head injury and broken jaw.
Nice. For rounds today, we have This is very vague, but the residents' first day being lead surgeons will go through each resident in that situation. Chief stepping down as the chief and Owen Hunt becoming the new one, and Bailey's response. Derek and Meredith still fighting, no longer working together in the hospital. Owen and Christina still not talking about the abortion. And basically, like, this idea of the men in the show being men and owning up to their weaknesses or asking for help or just, figuring out shit.
Yes.
It's like a man-centric episode.
First note.
Which I would also just like to state before we even talk about this in whole is that, like, I think it's fair to say that that, like, second monologue and everything is talking about, straight men. I feel like it's very, which is kind of my thought of, not that it doesn't hold up, but I think, as a society, we're,
challenging that?
Yeah, them being like, well, maybe we'll admit defeat and finally talk about our feelings. I feel like a show being made today, they would be taught, it would be a lot more, less of, that's not that crazy for them to talk about. So I just wanted to, point that out. That I feel like it's just, for when we say, men and we talk about men, we're only speaking from our experiences and the ones literally shown on this episode. We are not blanketing all men.
Yes. I think that's clear
about that. When we say men, we're talking about the men in this show.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Okay, first notes.
I said, fifth year residents are being lead surgeons. Yay. I was very excited.
Yeah, I thought it was really fun. I also wrote, why does Derek look so surprised when Chief is no longer Chief? Wasn't that established in the last episode?
It was, I'm pretty sure it was, Chief is going to take the fall for you. I think I had a note about that as well, maybe a little further down.
Yeah, why would he not, can you move the gnome?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, I just can't see you.
Oh, I was hoping
a gnome wine stopper in between Bree and I. I guess, they had that thing in the boardroom when he was like, it was me that did it. And so I just assumed that he'd have the same punishment Meredith had.
Well, yeah. Okay. Here's my note. I said, wait, last episode, Derek was all for letting Chief take the fall for Meredith. Now he seems upset. I am so confused by Derek. Right. He flipped in a day.
I also think maybe we just assumed that because Meredith was fired, Chief would be fired for taking the fall. And I was really surprised. I said, how does he get to work there?
I guess the board just decided that,
his career was long enough that he, it's just weird.
Yeah, or that he didn't directly, he didn't directly change the thought maybe or something like the.
Or because he wasn't working on the trial
or something, but maybe he,
And it was his wife? That seems even more biased.
I don't know.
It's just interesting.
But Chief is no longer Chief, and Owen is, should we just talk about this?
I love that, so Owen is announced as chief. My favorite is how happy Teddy is. She's, unaware of,
everyone in the room.
She's like, wow, chief, you did it.
Yeah. Bailey does not look pleased.
Bailey is my favorite.
She's shaken in her fuck. Okay, Bailey, sure.
Well, I chief just like is silent. Some actions she takes or make me laugh. They're more comedic.
Okay, yeah. Okay, this is what I think. When she shows up to Owen and she's like, I need my this, I need my that, blah, blah, blah. And then he gives her more time to do things and she kind of freaks out on him.
Well, do I get the time?
And then I said, Bailey is being really ridiculous with Owen. And honestly, I usually don't take Owen's side on things. But I said, honestly, he was just trying to be nice. And I said, sometimes Bailey really annoys me. It is not Owen's fault that Chief stepped down and she shouldn't be taking it out on Owen.
Right, which I think that was sort of solved then in that elevator
scene with Chief.
But yeah, so.
Or Richard, I guess.
Who is it that calls Bailey his right-hand man?
Callie.
Okay, oh yeah, that's right. And she's not anymore and she's mad and. There were comedic parts of it that I enjoyed, when Owen decides that he doesn't want an office anymore and he's getting rid of everything.
She grabs the lamp.
She just looks at him, takes it, and walks out. Owen's face is just okay.
Yeah.
I also actually appreciate that Owen, as chief, decides an office isn't for him.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to be out and in with the people. I feel like that's a really interesting and good move.
Yes. It's very obvious in the beginning of. I think it's the beginning of the second episode.
Okay.
Is it when they're doing he can't triage or is it the first episode? It's
It's the second one.
And like he has
he's doing all the paperwork.
Yeah, and he's doing all the paperwork and stuff. And that's when, is that when he switches over?
It must be.
Yeah. Yeah, I just found that was, it's very obvious that like Owen didn't realize that this is like part of being chief.
It's the same as April and like Chief Rez. I feel like they're both
finding— Yeah, it's the same as Derek.
Right, exactly. It's why Derek didn't want it. There's also that really great scene when Mark is staring on that like, I call it the place where Derek was shot.
Yeah, that like bridge.
The bridge thing. And they're looking into Owen's office and he says, look at him acting like he runs the place. And then there's like, Owen comes out, he's like, gentlemen, anything I can do for you? And Mark's like, he's falling apart. Like, just like, I just love watching them do it. And yeah, immediately after that, I had the note that says, Owen doesn't get to do what he is, does best at, which is working in trauma. And Richard can't even get a surgery. Like, there's just, people are figuring out their footing in these episodes.
Yeah, and their new roles.
Yep.
I think we can get into this a little bit later if we want, but I just want to point out that Owen and Christina are very awkward when he tells her, like, it's her first surgery, he's chief, she doesn't even know, and it's clear that this abortion thing is obviously still between them.
Yeah, they haven't talked after it.
Yeah, it's very
it's
awkward.
It's that horrible scene when they hug and she's like, congratulations, we should have dinner. And he's like, how about tonight? She's like, ah, oh, not tonight.
Yeah.
And then Meredith is like, that was painful.
She said that was bad.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Which I think we can talk about the Christina Owen thing later on, but,
I think too with, let's just talk about in the same topic, April being chief resident at the same time.
Yeah.
And is that I really love this, the talk when Callie's talking to April about it and April's like, how did you do it? Like, how'd you whatever? And she's like, oh, I didn't. Like I stopped.
Yeah.
And then she praises April for the idea of letting the residents all compete and whoever loses has to do skills lab. And April's like, I didn't come up with that. Like that was them.
Mm-hmm.
And Callie's like, oh, like,
yeah.
I think it's just funny to see like, April is good at charts and this and making like plans, but like that isn't what's going to work. Kind of like Chief is, or Owen is really good at like trauma and this, but that's not what it is to be chief. Like it's all these different skills.
Owen also says to April, leadership is not about making friends. And I April's response was, oh, then I'm doing it right.
Yeah, she doesn't. No one.
But I think later on, someone kind of like talks about like, that's actually not good leadership. It's like not.
Yeah, let's find that. It was towards the end of the.
And I can't remember who said it.
Yeah, I can't either.
I feel like it was maybe Callie when she was talking about her as chief resident, what you were just talking about. I feel like that she kind of like debunked that and was
right,
like,
because I think you do have to have those people on your side.
Yes.
The people working under you. And it's just going to take time for that. And I felt like at the end when she takes down the chart that she made and she's like, we can compete every day for who does, like she is meeting them where they're at and vice versa and letting them hang out in her office.
Which is so funny. So, I mean, I don't really have much more to say about Owen being chief. And I mean, no, I feel like this can kind of
come up if it,
yeah. But I think it's really funny that April has an office.
And they're all like appalled by it.
Well, no, they're like, when did we get this? Not when did she get it? When did we get this? And oh, I could definitely take a nap here. And it's just like,
I love it. She's like, I bought that. Like,
yeah. And I thought it was really like very comedic that all, of course, all of those fucking residents think April's office is also,
theirs.
Office. And so April, okay, so it's all of the residents, it's their first day. Like, attendings are still in the OR with them, but they're the lead surgeons,
mm-hmm.
all of the fifth years. And
they have that meeting in the beginning, too, where they're like, let them sweat. Like, we'll work it out. It's not going to go smoothly.
What's unfortunate for April is at the same time, she's the new chief resident, and she's trying to implement, like, these skills labs, and people don't respect April. And they're like, no, I'm not going to fucking teach your skills lab. I have a surgery to run.
Doesn't she end up teaching it then? Because
mm-hmm.
no one else does?
Right.
Yeah.
And then she ends up assisting Karev because she couldn't find anyone, an intern to assist Karev.
Right. It's like her system isn't working because no one's respecting
her. No one respects
system.
Her. Which to say that you just pretty much got to the end of the episode where she figures out, like, if you guys want to compete, like you just said. Right, she figures out how to be a better chief resident by appealing to
what works for them.
Yes, exactly.
Let's also, I think we should just start talking about each person's mm-hmm. first solo situation, because it was like really exciting. I loved this episode.
Yeah. Should we start with Avery maybe?
Sure. Yep. So
remember
first time with Avery. So Avery is going to be doing a cleft lip like
repair,
which, oh, that's like so sad.
I know. It was like really hard to look at.
There's some kids in Honduras that have them and they never got them fixed.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like really sad. Because what the part about what Arizona was saying is like you are determining their prom date, their job. Like that is actually like so sadly true.
Yes.
Like, I'd like to hope there's a day that it isn't. But so anyways, so he's supposed to do that. He gives like a great speech to the mom, reassuring her. Mm-hmm. And Arizona says to him, like, you did a great job, like, you handle it all, but you're not going to be doing this one because I think you should use X approach. And you said this other one, Sloan is going to be doing it.
Right.
He's an artist.
Right.
It's what she, like, always says. And I just feel, that felt like it sucked, like, to begin with, like, to have that taken away when I thought the whole purpose of this day was that they do it on their own.
Right. I think it's different. I think the whole hospital feels differently about children than mm-hmm. they do about adult patients.
That's true. Yep.
They're way more protective of them. But I do, I don't think it was fair that Arizona took Jackson off the surgery. I think that she could have said, like, you want to do this approach. Really, it should be this approach. Like,
can you
show me you can do it?
Right.
You know?
So then he gets it back, though, right?
Right, because he does that procedure on a pig.
Right, right. He, like, fixes it perfectly, shows her, and she's like, okay.
I wrote, like, Jackson's really stepping up. Like, he's doing a really good job.
And then I still wrote, I think that Arizona fucked it up for him.
Because, of course she did.
Yeah, like she was pushing during or like right before surgery, like giving him all of these terrible worries that like, yes, it's important that he understands the importance of what he's doing, but like not to the point of bullying into like—
Yeah, and scaring the shit out of
yourself.
Him. Yeah.
Yeah, so I wrote, my note was like, I still think Avery could have done it well.
Yes.
He just like got mind fucked.
Well, yeah. And then it like cuts at one point to like, she's like, do you want me to go get Mark is what she asks him. And then later on it cuts to Mark doing the surgery. And it is so funny to me. He says, don't worry, you're still the goober.
Yeah, the Gunther. Yeah.
Which goober is
such a
terrible
There's
word.
Some great, this is like the Mark Jackson stuff.
Oh my
like
God.
The next
yeah.
episode is so good. But yeah, so ultimately Jackson forfeits his surgery.
Yes.
Who's next? We talk about Karev?
Yeah.
Okay, so Karev has to do a bowel obstruction.
Yeah.
Right?
And he doesn't work. He's not working on peds, which everyone's talking about.
Right. Is that because he needs to log more hours, I think, not in peds? I think that's what that is.
Yes, but you end up finding out actually why you don't remember this?
Maybe I missed this.
Okay,
one.
So
he has to finish the paper?
No. Oh. So Karev, like, it's everyone's like, oh, you're trying to have good outcomes for your boards.
Right. It's
but
not
also,
that.
But then, he won't go talk to the patient at all. And April yells
right.
at him finally.
Oh, so he's nervous.
He's nervous. And she says, that's why you didn't want to work on a kid today.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry,
yeah, so that's why he's doing the bowel thing is because he didn't want to work on a kid today because he's really nervous.
And I mean, he's so nervous that he also won't speak to the patient.
Right.
There's
that's
that
it,
part when, and April's talking to the patient and she reassures him that like, Alex is douchey, but he's a good surgeon.
Right.
Which is even worse than when, it's so sad that like what happens isn't his fault.
Yes.
But like what is typically a simple surgery, like it went wrong.
Well, and I couldn't figure out and I couldn't remember this whole episode. I was like, why? I have so many notes about like, what the fuck is up with Krev? Why is he being such a dick? He's truly being a douche. Like I didn't understand and then realized, oh, he's super, super nervous, which I don't think we really see that often in Krev.
No, not at all. Like, he's usually overly confident.
Yeah, so that was like a very vulnerable thing. And I liked how April was like, you're going to be fine. Like,
right.
you're going to be great. And then he practiced on
the
wrong
side. I know.
Because he's lead surgeon, which is just like, oh.
Yeah, so he panics because he's on the wrong side. And then she's like, wait, you practiced on the wrong side. He goes to the right one. Freaking Chief makes that comment like, I really love this book I'm reading. I'm going to get to finish
it. All these attendings are being dicks.
That's what I mean. They're not setting them up for success. They're like very much like.
But I wonder, is that like medical culture? Like, yeah.
Probably. And also, like, you're not always going to have, no one's going to be flowery and happy before a surgery, like towards you. Like,
right.
You just are expected to know what the fuck to do.
Right.
So he's on the wrong side and it goes horribly wrong and he's like panicking. I really appreciate it again in that moment. Like, April is just like, there's nothing you can do. Like, this isn't like.
This isn't your
he's
fault.
He's been terrible to her, but like she knows in that moment that like he's going through something.
Yeah.
And then I did like that he still went and talked to the patient afterwards. Like April offers to do it.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I'll do it. And I feel like he was in a better place then. Like he would be speaking well to that patient. Like I don't think he'd be a dick.
I agree. I thought it was really interesting too when he's like, pretty much like begging for Richard to tell him what to do.
Yeah.
And I do think that was a good teaching moment that Richard continues to read. Because I think he was like, you know what you need to do, but you want me to tell you.
To tell you.
Right. Yeah, because it's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. And like as a doctor, you have to be able to make those really unfortunate calls.
Yeah.
And I think that like—
He would have stepped in if it was the wrong call.
Yeah, like that was, I feel like, a teaching moment for—
Right. Yeah. Ugh.
I'm sad.
Also because like that son thought that it was just like going to be a quick thing and he died of septic shock.
I know.
It's really tragic. I'm never having surgery. Okay, let's talk about, we have Christina.
We have Christina and Mare because I don't feel like, April doesn't do one.
Let's talk about Christina because hers is hilarious.
Hers is very funny.
It's like the comic like relief in this. So she's supposed to do... Oh, actually, let's first talk about that. She has interns.
Yes.
And she is in the beginning, like, quizzing them on the fundamentals and saying that she loves—
Basics, people.
Basics, yeah, that she loves the basics. They're so important. And Teddy's, like, watching her and she talks to them about not skipping steps.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. She's basically reiterating what Teddy has said. And it's so funny and it's so fake, but also, like— Teddy's like, good, good, good.
Yeah, I love that she, which is just, actually, this is terrible, that she says this in front of a patient. She asks, are you guys a slow class? Which is like, you're saying this in front of a patient. And then you tell them to go take her to a scan, you know?
Yeah, and then she's like, palpate the abdomen. Did you do that yet? And she's like, ow. Like,
yeah.
Okay, so after that moment, they find out she needs an appy or whatever. And Teddy says to Christina, why don't you do the appy? And Christina's response is, where do I begin? She's like, I'm a fifth year. Like, all of these things. I just love how sassy her remark is. Like, where do I begin with the reasons why I shouldn't do it? And then we learn that Christina doesn't remember how to do an appy.
Right.
Which is so fucking great.
Yeah, she, like, Teddy's response to Christina of why she should do it, you're all about the fundamentals, like, throws it back in her face, which is really funny. And then... Christina, so there's this great scene where everyone's like panicking about their surgery. They like all want to cancel their surgeries. And I love scenes like this. It kind of reminds me of cafeteria scenes where all of the residents are surrounding this pig and like all freaking out about something. No one's listening to what anyone is saying. And Christina's like, you know, I need to do an appendectomy on this pig. And like,
let me in.
And then April arrives and she is saying something about the skills lab. And that's where Christina gets the idea of, oh my God, I need to go to the skills lab. So she uses the interns.
Yes. She is quizzing them like step by step how to do an appy. And there's like this one poor girl that like gets to one part and then can't remember. And Christina's like, he's coding. Beep, beep, beep. And it's like, he's dead. And she starts crying. And then he's like, you next. And she just keeps going down the line until clearly she gets like all of the steps.
Which is funny because she plays it so well when someone doesn't know. Like, she acts like she does know. Like, is that a statement or is that a question? You know what I mean?
When really we know as viewers that she has no fucking idea.
Right.
And so, that scene was really funny to me. The way she makes them cry.
Yeah.
And just...
So then they go into surgery. She's like, Teddy's asking her like each step.
Yeah, I wrote, Teddy asks 1,000 questions to Christina. And at one point.
Neat.
Yeah, I wrote that Christina answers and Teddy just goes, neat.
Yeah.
She's in such like a happy, weird phase, Teddy is right now.
And then it gets to the part where Christina can't remember what to do next.
And she admits it, which is big.
I love that too, that she's like, no, really, shut up. Like, I'm sorry, I don't know. Can you just do it? And Teddy's like, well, you know, like, it'll come back to you. Just think a second. She's like, no, it really won't come back to me. And then
she looks at Teddy's face.
Yes.
And is like, you don't know either.
Neither of them remember, which is so funny because Teddy has been like drilling
basics.
You need to know how to do these things. And Teddy doesn't remember.
I feel like this is going to like squash all of the problems between them this moment. So then the nurse is like, maybe you should do it. Like, she totally knows what. And they're like, oh, yes, yeah. I'll do it.
Uh-huh.
And my favorite is them walking out of the surgery and they just stop. And she's like, we'll never speak of this again.
And they go separate ways. Just like, yep. And then someone brings it up. I think it's Karev or something after the surgery in April's office. And she's like, who did you hear that from?
Right. Because it's when they're trying to pick who would have to do the skills lab.
Yeah.
And like, Christina didn't even know. A nurse had to finish it for her. Yeah. She's like, how did you know?
So then there's Meredith.
Hers
is hard.
Yeah. So this is going to lead into some Derek Mayer conversation.
Yeah.
But they are not in a good place.
Not at all.
No. I really want to like hit home a couple things. One is that Derek is so focused on his career.
Mm.
This is like a constant, I feel like, especially as the series gets later now. But like when he finds out Weber quit and whatever, he's so like upset. He's like, but your career, like what your whatever. And Richard is like, I'm fine. I'm doing this. Like,
right.
I want to be with Adele, whatever. And he's like, how's Zola? Like Derek isn't thinking about relationships. He's only thinking about like career. And so I feel like that's really just
apparent.
Yeah. Like this whole time. And so like, he's still mad at Meredith.
Yeah. I want to point out that I wrote a note in the beginning of the episode. I said, oh, this is kind of weird because Mare is still working in neuro and ends up being a general surgeon. I wonder when this happens.
Oh.
And then it ended up happening at the end of this episode.
Right.
So I must have kind of remembered that it was coming
soon.
That's
super interesting.
I
think it's sad in their relationship too. In the beginning of the first episode, she says to Derek, what happens to us if we don't get Zola back? Like, Mara's already like, okay, you're going to leave me.
Yeah.
Like,
I also, though, thought, I said, Meredith, probably not the best time to ask Derek if he wants to stay with you. You guys are at work. You're about to go into surgery. But I also then counterpointed my point. And I said, I get it, though, because I'm assuming he's probably not communicating with you outside of work.
So you have no idea. Yeah, you have no choice.
It's very complicated, but I'm just like, I don't know, Meredith. Like, maybe don't be talking about this right now.
Right. So Derek doesn't trust Meredith. That's just like the theme of everything, but doesn't trust her. And in surgery is second guessing or like making her think that every choice she's making is wrong.
Well, and I think it's important to bring up too that she's practicing. Richard comes to talk to her and she's like, I'm trying to figure out what clip I'm going to use. And he's like, you won't know until you're in surgery.
Right.
Like, it's you'll see it and then you'll know. And so then I think she takes that
knowledge.
And then when she goes to choose the clip for the aneurysm and Derek's like, no, use a smaller one or whatever. She's like, I'm looking directly at it.
Right.
And she's very confident in her choice because that's what Richard told her to do. But Derek has no trust in her.
Right. And I loved how Meredith says, first of all, I just love Meredith in this scene. She is so, and it doesn't feel like I'm trying to prove you wrong. I'm sure of myself. It's like no, I know what I'm doing. Like, I'm good at this. And I love when she goes, it's okay, it's holding perfectly. Like when whatever they're doing.
They clap for Meredith.
Yeah, that part was really hard because Chief had said to her, like, I can only imagine what it'll be like when you clip your first aneurysm. And
Derek leads.
And everyone will lead you in a standing ovation. And Derek doesn't clap, it's the anesthesiologist.
I know.
He just starts like a slow clap. Also, Boki and Mare kicking ass together.
Yeah.
Boki hands her what she needs and doesn't like give her what Derek says.
Yeah, I think I'm happy it panned out this way. I would hate
if it had not gone well.
And he was just there to prove again, like, you are reckless.
Right.
You know, because that's, I feel like his whole point is like, you're very reckless. And she's like, no, I know what I am doing.
And I felt like in this one, I don't know why, I guess I just had a sense. I felt like she did know. It wasn't like her trying to prove him wrong. It felt more like he was just trying to be like, nope, you don't know, I know.
You don't know, you're wrong.
I'm right, you're wrong, Matilda.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I'm big, you're small.
Yeah, but I think that I really think that she wouldn't have done that, though, if Chief hadn't given her that speech beforehand.
I don't think so either. I agree.
Yeah. And he was just being really supportive of her, and it was nice to see that.
Yeah.
So kind of to round out, that's pretty much that episode.
Mm-hmm. Except for that we have to talk about Owen and Christina and Derek and Mare.
Is that at the end of that episode?
Yeah, Derek.
Oh, you're right. Okay, yeah. Okay.
It kind of
oh, well, what the- am I guess at the hospital, because oh, yeah. my last yeah. note kind of at the hospital was that I was really happy that in the end that April's doing a good job.
Yes.
Like, it's really nice to see that, like—
They're all hanging out in that room.
Yeah, and I love that they're drinking Owen's scotch.
Yeah.
Because he's like, find a place for this. So April takes it and they're all drinking it. So should we talk about Bailey and Chief together at the end real fast?
Yes, the elevator scene.
Yeah. So they go to leave and Bailey's like pissed mm-hmm. at Richard.
She's just like seething.
Yeah.
I don't have the beginning of the conversation written, but I have the part when he says, the only thing Meredith gave me was time to spend with my wife, and I'm going to do that. I'm happy, Bailey, and I'd like you to be happy too.
Yeah.
And Bailey says, you're going to have to give me a while. And he says, I'll wait.
I loved the I'll wait.
I know. Like, they're sort of like a Christina Meredith. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes, and A, I like that Bailey knows that, like, it's going to take me a minute.
Yeah.
And I also like that Chief is like, that's fine. Like,
yep.
As long as you try.
As long as you're trying and you understand.
And again, I just really love to reiterate that Chief is not being selfish with his life right now. Like he is, throughout this whole two episodes, and maybe I was just on a Chief mode. By Chief, I mean Richard. He is like helping the guys come up with excuses, whatever they are,
yeah.
like, to get out of things. He is teaching Meredith. He is wanting...
Teaching Karev, teaching Avery.
Right, which we'll talk about, like, teaching Karev how to be excited about surgery again.
Yeah.
He's excited about surgery. He's got a positive attitude. He is excited to be spending time with his wife. Like, he is not upset by what happened.
No.
He is, like, thankful, I think, that his wife got the meds.
Treatment.
And that, like, and is happy to take the fall for that. To me, like, Adele getting the right medication is worth it for him to lose his job as chief.
Yes.
Like, that overpowers that. So I appreciate that. I just like him in this episode.
Yeah.
Let's talk
about... So that was a sweet little moment.
Let's talk about the end of this episode just because I feel like it's important.
I do too, yeah.
So let's talk about Christina and Owen first because...
They are eating Chinese food.
Yeah, and there's a part... I wrote, damn it, here comes the Owen rage. I was thinking... He was yeah. about to go yell at her.
I know. And then I went, oh my God, he's throwing up. And I thought he was throwing up because he was so
Same.
Sickened by the abortion.
Same.
But he had food poisoning.
Did you eat the spring rolls? I thought that it was really tender. And like, I'm sure there's going to be a rage mm-hmm. explosion soon. But I appreciate that we got another glimpse of like the two of them being super fucking vulnerable. And like him putting her head on his lap. And like,
yeah, you can tell by the way, this is what made me really sad about the scene. You can tell at the very end by the way Christina looks up at Owen that she thinks in her mind,
it's all okay.
It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to get past this.
Right.
And we as now later on as, and maybe as viewers, we think
that
too.
Yeah.
But now we know that that's actually not the case. And that's, I feel like so many of us have been in a situation like that in a relationship
where
you have this really shitty thing happen and everything sucks. And then you have a very tender moment and you're like, we can get past this. And then you actually can't.
Right. And I feel like it was almost like a little gift or hint towards the viewers to like get one more taste of like them at their best.
Yeah.
Before it's
their best, which is food poisoning.
Right. But they're just so tender and like.
Yeah. And to be so vulnerable, like puking in front of each other and like.
Right. And when she laughs, like, I don't know, it's really a great, I love that scene a lot. I'm
yeah.
just sad knowing how it goes.
Yeah.
But okay, so opposite to the way, I also like that it was paired with the way Derek and Meredith are.
Yes.
I don't like when people come home angry and pour a drink the way Derek does. He like he gets home, he slams the fridge, takes out whiskey, pours it into, like it's like a... Like a, I don't want to be around you.
Yeah.
Like it's like a, like not scary, but.
Yeah.
It's not like a, ooh, I had a day. I'm going to have a quick load off. It's like, I'm fucking pissed.
Yeah.
And like, yeah.
Something about me really likes that though, because like, I don't know. I felt, and I have a feeling that maybe you didn't like this exchange necessarily.
I didn't hate it.
I like fucking loved it because I mm-hmm. felt like. One of my notes is just like, they are really struggling and this feels so true, like, and realistic.
Same. I wrote that the fact that they slept together in the same bed and their hands were close but weren't touching was
yeah.
so fucking real and beautiful. Like,
Yeah, I thought it was so.
I think I have some of it written down.
Yeah, so he, first of all, he needs her to be sorry. Like, she's never sorry. She says she's
not say she's sorry, but be sorry.
Yeah. She's never sorry. And he feels like he has no reason to trust her. So he can't trust her in the OR.
And he doesn't think she's suffered any consequences.
Yeah, that's a big one too. Like, you literally have suffered, and she hasn't. She didn't lose her job. I mean, she lost Zola, but so did Derek.
Right.
And Derek
and
lost
that's
the trial.
His point is, he's like, I lost her too.
Yeah, I lost the trial. Like, you kept your job. You haven't suffered any consequences.
She also says, in regards to the surgery that day, I didn't listen to you because I didn't need to listen to you.
Yeah.
And then.
Okay. And then.
Yeah.
And then she's like, if you hate me so much, blah, 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 why are you even with me? And I got GGBs,
Winnie points.
And he said, because of that, I promised I wouldn't run. And I meant it. And I wrote, fuck, this is why we love Maren Dare. Mm-hmm. Like, that moment to me, like, I have chills just thinking about
it. Yeah.
Because, like, it's only a fucking post-it. And I know, I think they legally got married.
Yeah, they did.
But like, he, like, this time around, like, he didn't mean that with Addison, but he means it with Meredith.
And I don't think Meredith gets that because she's never had anyone in her life stick around.
Yes.
So she's always waiting for someone to leave.
Yes.
Like, and giving him an out, essentially. Yeah, I loved, yeah, he said, I promise I wouldn't run. I promise I would love you. And she says, even when I hate you. Like, that was the line in their thing. And he said, I'm trying, but you make it so damn hard. Yeah, I loved this scene. Like, I'm sad that it's happening for them, but like, it felt really like they're not taking the easy way out.
Yeah. And then there was a part two, like, she asked something about, like, you don't trust me with our child. And he's like, I do. Like, I do trust you with our child and stuff. And then he says something.
Well, he says, I trust you with our child. I know you would take a bullet for me. I know you did this to give the chief whatever.
Yeah, and he said, it's what I love about you. And she says, and what you hate about me. And I also think that's so brilliant too, because some of the things in our partners that we love so dearly and like are so drawn to can also be the things that like break our hearts and drive us crazy.
Right.
It's not always that you just love something about someone. There is like that back and forth. Yeah, so.
And they decide then after that they can't work together. And so that like, because Meredith's like, well, then let's not work together. Like, I will get off neuro.
Which I think is fair.
I think so too. Like, because she said this, the whole conversation started when she said, we should not have been in that operating room together. Which
you don't,
is so fucking true.
Yes. You don't trust me.
Right.
Why would we can't work together.
Right.
And I love that she's like, that's my consequence.
Right.
Is like, I don't get to work with you.
Right.
And I think that's a good, like, to try. I don't know that they should have ever been working together to begin with.
Right.
You know, and so I feel like that could be a nice way for them to like mend their relationship at home is by like not taking work home.
Yeah, I agree. I also think them choosing to sleep in the same bed that night was also important.
Yeah, even though they're in their clothes on top of the covers.
Yeah, the next episode like opens with them next to each other but not touching.
Yes. Yep. I said them trying to work it out really makes me want to cry.
That's beautiful.
I know. I don't know why. Like, because I feel like we've been kind of shitting on Derek the past couple episodes. And even though he was like raging and kind of fucking mad, like, I really loved it because it was almost like, I don't want to fucking love you in this way, but I do, and I'm not going to fucking leave you, but I'm having a really hard time.
Right, dealing with this.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
You knew, you read my, pass me the gnome.
There you go.
You guys, Bria's the most ridiculous.
Wine stopper. It's a gnome that I got from a work Christmas party. Like a straight up, a Santa gnome.
And it sits up so tall.
Yeah.
And I don't know that it.
It doesn't even work. No, I don't know. I don't get it.
I like it though.
Yeah, it's funny.
Okay.
So that was the end of the first episode.
Yes.
And usually we like talk about both episodes, but I feel like the stories didn't really cross a ton.
Yeah, not at all. Because I feel like they had two big topics. Like this next one is going to be focused on the men. So I feel like we just kind of go through it and just see where it goes from there.
Yeah. So at first I was like, oh, Derek's doing the monologue. I was like, oh, and Chief. Oh, and this. Oh,
it's all of them.
Oh, and the title is about men. Okay. So this is a man's episode.
A man-centric episode.
Yep.
First note of it is mine says, April, you shouldn't be washing their underwear.
Okay, I have a question about that too. Have you ever left your underwear at a man's house? Because I never have.
I've never had a one night stand.
I don't ever leave without my underwear. I've left a hat, but that's, yeah, that's different.
what did you put on if you didn't?
Yeah, you would just put on your pants with it. I guess you could maybe leave your underwear if you can't find them.
Or if you, like to me, if it, because it's Lexi's, right?
Yes. No, it ends up being.
Oh, it's Alex's. Yeah. I was saying, it would make sense if it was Lexi's. She probably brought a change of clothes and just like those were her underwear from
Lexi
the day
lives
before.
There.
Oh, yeah. So I don't know.
No, it was Krebs, but I'm just like, I guess the only way to me it would make sense that you would leave
it,
you couldn't find it and you wanted to get out of there.
Yeah, like fast.
So you just leave your underwear. But I also would not want to leave my
underwear. I'd be like, where are they?
I'd be like, mine aren't great looking.
I'd be like that gif of the cat in the bed, like screaming, like looking for,
Also, just really quick beginning note is Avery is drinking straight from the carton, and I find that obnoxious.
I also wrote, though, I'd like to see a bromance between Jackson and Karev.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Like, there were some funny moments between the two of them this episode, and I was like, I don't know if they're friends. Like, even on the current show, like, they don't hang out.
No, they don't.
I also wrote, I hate the tension between Mare and Dare. Like if that were me.
Oh, yeah.
That's so uncomfortable.
So uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Karev, get your dirty ass feet off that desk.
I love how Jackson calls him out. He's like, it smells like, it's like disgusting.
Like, why are its feet up on that desk? He's like picking his toenails.
It's disgusting.
I hate it.
Okay, let's just talk about, okay, also Callie and Arizona are going to a conference.
Yeah.
Mark has Sophia and is like, say bye, mommies. Like, we're going to have a good time. I just thought it was funny.
I thought it was cute.
He's really cute with her. Can we also talk about the moment that she falls off the bed, is he's like on the phone with them and then which unrealistic, a baby would make a noise if it rolled off a couch.
Yeah.
This baby rolled off and then under
and was
instantly
fine.
And was fine, but it's just funny.
Yeah.
Where do we start with this one?
Okay. Well, Chief is trolling for cases.
Oh yeah. He wants to find the joy again.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll take the drunk zombie.
This is my sexy zombie nurse. And this sexy zombie nurse doesn't actually really have, like, any injuries. They're all, makeup.
Makeup. And why is she sleeping? I couldn't understand that when he was pulling all the stuff off.
I don't know.
Also, I wanted your take on the Hobbit man. Did you feel attached to him as all because you love Lord of the Rings? How did you feel? Did you feel like the girl when she talks about hobbits? Like, was that how you would have reacted?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all. But I thought he was cute. Then he says hi to her. Like, he was fine. It was cute. When he was talking about April, was he talking about Khaleesi?
Yes. Okay. I wanted to look here. When Grey's season 8, I want to see when this season airs and if this is what I meant to look at. If Game of Thrones had started yet. Okay, so 8th season, 2012. Grey's, or when did Game of Thrones?
This is so.
One was in 2011. Okay, so it would have.
Mm.
I was thinking like, wow, Grey's like found a nerd thing and got to it before. Like, did they predict that it was going to be a thing? But season one had come out.
Okay.
But yeah, he says the Dothraki princess from the Ice and Fire series, which is
Khaleesi.
Yeah. And I love, at first, my thought was, nuh-uh. And then it says, not her hair, her skin.
Yes.
And so, anyways, was amazing.
Nuh-uh.
He also calls, Alex calls, put down your nerd chub. Like, he has a nerd boner, which is gross. I also had to look up what a TARDIS was. Just wanted you to know. The thing that they were fighting.
Yeah.
It's a time machine. I think it's from Doctor Who.
From Doctor Who.
Yeah,
okay.
So.
Okay, so he ends up like, okay, I just want to kind of talk about this patient that he ends up coming back because he like really wants to talk to April. And then he says he has chest pain so he can get admitted. And then there's this hulking patient.
Yeah, which came out of nowhere.
Yeah. Can I read you my notes? Because they are so funny to me.
Yeah.
I reread them. Okay. It says, oh man, this guy is out of control. What is he doing? My next note. What the fuck is going on with this guy? My next note. What is going on with this guy? My next note. Yeah, Owen, fucking punch that dude in the face. But honestly, what is even going on with this guy?
Right,
why was he
from?
Doing this? Like, I have no idea.
There was no preface.
Right?
Yeah, all of a sudden he was there and he was fighting.
Did we ever find out why he was hulking?
I think he was drunk.
Okay.
Because Owen says, like, you punched a woman at, or you fought someone at the bar, you got brought here, you do. So I think he was just really drunk.
Okay. I think I like missed him being brought in or something. I just thought
it was at the end. We didn't like that part was at the end.
Okay. I just find my notes. I just said the same thing over and I didn't even realize I was typing. Like, what is going on?
I just love when the Hobbit guy's like, we are a gentle folk who will crave adventure. We are a gentle folk who crave adventure. And he goes, when we find it, we could become heroes.
Like, yes.
Yeah. And then he does not. He just gets, excuse me, sir. You should sit down.
And then he gets beat to shit.
But I have some thoughts on Owen. Okay, initially when he says to the nurse, like, report a patient with a broken jaw, and they're like, who? And he's like, we're about to. And he just sucker punches the guy and he falls. My first reaction was like, all right, he handled it. Like, then he went too far in the room.
When he grabs his jaw?
Yeah, like even like shutting the blinds and the man can't speak because his jaw is wired shut.
Yeah.
That's my worst nightmare.
Yeah.
I would become so claustrophobic. I think that I like would rip my jaw open.
Yeah.
But like, yeah. And then he grabs it. That was too far. I feel like he should have come into the room calmly with the windows open and said, like, sir, like, this is what you did. That guy was no threat to him there. And just be like, don't sue. Like, you don't have a case. You know what I mean? But like, don't fucking threaten him.
Well, I think maybe, let's take this. Maybe he did this because this is like a man episode.
And it was
like
super fucking male.
Like, maybe they were trying to, like.
Oh, it was probably in the part in the monologue when it says men are better in attack. It says, male brains confront challenges differently than female brains. Or no, that part. The male brains have the bigger whatever cortex, which helps them off fending an attack.
Yeah, so maybe it's just trying to like, and I don't even know if they're making the statement that this is a good thing. You
right,
know?
I just was like, whoa.
Yeah, it was out of control.
But I did love when he punched him. That was a very-
It was like-
it so satisfying?
I know, it was one swift punch.
I think the way it was filmed and the way he walked in, it was like, there's going to be someone with a broken jaw, whatever. Who? There's about to be, boom. I was just like, yeah.
Yeah, you did it, man. I know, I really liked that he punched. Well, because there was nothing else they could do.
Right.
This guy was like hulking.
Right.
Beating someone to shit. So.
Why do I even know this? Because Derek is an angry son of a bitch.
I feel.
I don't know. We'll get there. It's not quite in this part. Also, what happens at a meeting in Mayfield? Did they?
Oh yeah, they talked about this. So I
missed the part when they explain it. It's something.
So
funny.
I wrote that. I think I remember this. That it's about erectile dysfunction, and it is.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Perfect.
Yeah, so they
something with a penis.
Yeah, and so that's why it's funny
when
they told
Bailey.
But what I didn't understand, I was like, even April knew. Why does every single doctor except Karev and Avery know what Mayfield is?
Oh, is it April that explains it to them?
I can't remember who. I think they like see it on like the door or something.
Chief's laugh though when he finds out that Avery said it to Bailey is, and he's like, ooh,
he's very chief in that moment.
I also think we should talk about, before we talk about the house and everything, is Ben and Eli. There's
yes. Okay, so Ben's back on. Like, I feel like Ben hasn't been here for a while.
Also, he's in an OR.
Yeah.
He's
an anesthesiologist.
Okay, I wrote, Ben Warren, we missed you.
Yeah, he's back on the show, and he is fighting with Eli. And Derek thinks it's, like, because Eli and Bailey.
But it's
Derek breaks the fucking news to Ben.
Yeah, he's like, just leave Bailey out of it. And he's like, why? I wasn't. Oh. And like,
yeah.
It's so funny.
Oh, and then I love when he like is like, does he talk about her? And then
Derek goes, yeah, she said his hands have a kind of tenderness.
Yeah, which is so funny because it's like, of course she doesn't fucking talk to me about this.
No, and then
this.
Bailey or Ben goes, sure, drop the bomb, walk away. Yeah. Like, it's just really funny, that whole like exchange. I also love later he's like, I'm sorry. Like, I didn't mean to tell this to you. I appreciated that Ben sees Eli and Bailey together and doesn't go like intervene.
Yeah.
But he says that line that's like, she says she didn't want a relationship. She's in a relationship. Yeah. Like, this doesn't make any sense to me. Which it's been a whole season of them being apart.
Yeah.
Because the shooting was season six.
Six. Yeah. So. And I don't feel like Ben was really, I wonder if they didn't, if he wasn't going to be on the show anymore and they like brought him back in or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
What else is there? So Owen, this is the episode where like Owen has to eat lunch by himself. He doesn't get to triage.
Right.
He gets a new office. He's changing what it means to be chief.
Yep. And throughout this whole episode, it starts with just Owen being invited. Derek like comes in. He's like, finish your drink. We're going. Like, yeah. Come with me.
Which also I found it funny that Owen was drinking scotch in the middle of the day. I know it's like not appropriate, but I thought it was very funny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, maybe he wasn't on. I mean, like
call or something. Yeah.
But I love. Yeah. So they go to the house and they are building a deck. Which I wrote, men working on houses lame. I don't know why I wrote that. I think I just felt that it was very stereotypical, like bleh, men
like banging shit. Yeah,
but it was also funny. So like he brings him there. He doesn't know how to build a deck, but he's doing it or like doing it anyways. And first it's just Owen, and they're just like being dudes.
Yep.
Then it gets slowly grows. Their man club.
Yeah. So then like Ben's it because like Bailey is not with Ben, so Ben shows up. Like, Avery's there. Avery invites Karev.
Yeah, Karev is like, is it okay? I'm sorry. I know I was Owen's late to your there. Surgery.
It's like, it's kind of funny. I was like, all of these guys are hammering shit. What I also
and
found—
bitching.
Well, what I also found was really funny is no one's listening to what anyone's saying.
No.
Everyone's just talking about their own shit.
Yeah.
And not responding. Kind of reminds me of, like, Mare and Christina do that sometimes.
Yeah. It's kind of like the, I have a baby, come help me. She's like, I have to go lay down.
Like, yeah. Like, just like this back and forth where I'm not really listening to anything you're saying.
Right.
Which I feel like sometimes I do that with my sisters.
Yeah. You're just there. But
just talking, but no
not
one's.
Not listening.
Yeah. And they're just banging hammers.
I did appreciate that Krev, because he was late or didn't show up to Shepherd's surgery or whatever. And, Derek just gives him a hammer and is just like, go forth. And then Mark comes. And
this is so funny. Well, okay, I feel like we should back up.
Jackson.
Yeah, because the whole idea is like Mark is not letting Jackson do anything in the surgery and then in any surgeries. And right. So then Mark and Derek are doing a surgery together and Avery is observing Mark and Derek lets Avery actually do something
that he's never even seen.
Yes, and actually do something in surgery. And so then it gets to Derek asks Avery to scrub in on a surgery, but he's already scheduled to be working with Mark. And so they're like kind of fighting over him.
Right.
And then they're hammering shit. And Mark shows up.
This is one of my favorite scenes.
With his baby.
Yeah.
And he says, you're trying to steal my guy.
He goes, Avery, get in the car.
Yes, that's my favorite.
Yeah.
When he tells Avery to get in the car.
It's like when you find out your wife is cheating with someone. Like, that's exactly how it's filmed. Which is comical that it's between Derek and Mark because he did cheat on his wife. Like, there's some real things. But Avery, get in the car. You're trying to steal my guy. I don't take the time to teach anyone if I can help it. And I chose Jackson, essentially. Yeah. Like,
and then he like walks away and Derek's like, don't walk away. He's like, I can't. Sophia like needs me to keep moving.
He wasn't actually walking away. He was just walking in a circle.
Yeah.
And then Owen goes, you guys talk. I'll take the baby.
I was like, of course Owen
I was like,
wants to take the baby.
Here we go. It's happening.
Yeah.
Owen is so fucking cute with it. Her, and he's like, do you want to touch the tractor? And like, just being whatever. I was like, oh, this is going to trigger the next episode.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, also I appreciated that then I feel like, you're right, the men weren't listening to each other, but this time Mark and Derek are finally talking and I feel like they're actually saying feelings.
Yes.
It's kind of like the Christina Meredith. Derek says that like, I lost the trial. I've been blacklisted by the FDA. I lost Sola. And then he said, and some days I miss Meredith so much I don't know what I'm going to do.
I know.
Which is just like tragic.
Then Avery is like, if I'm being honest, like I choose plastics or whatever. And then Mark flips on him, is like, you like using my guy over here? And like stands up to Derek. It's just everything so bro-y. It's funny.
Yeah.
I don't know. That ending scene I thought was really funny.
Yeah, it ends with they set a beer down on the deck, it rolls. And then Mark goes, I'll tell you what else you don't know, how to build a deck. And
yes.
And then it ends.
I thought too. So at the end, he tells Mark, like, I miss Meredith. Sometimes I miss Meredith so much, blah, blah, blah. And it's during the part of the monologue where he says, you have to know when not to man up. Sometimes it takes a real man to set his ego aside, admit defeat, and simply start all over again. And I was like, I had GGBs, and I was like, got really teary-eyed because I think, like, Derek is going to have to let go and forgive Meredith for what she did and, like, fucking start again.
Right, right. Yeah. Which it's hard to put your ego away.
Yes.
And like, and even when you want to be right and you want to hold on to that, like if the relationship is more important, I think there are times when you have to just like push it aside.
Yeah. Also, it's really sad in that whole scene happening, you see Chief go home Adele didn't eat her lunch.
I know. It's really sad. There's also, though, on Richard, I have a random note that it is amazing to him when he's finally in surgery. And he's like, Boki, you got my playlist?
Oh, my
and
God.
And he put it on. He spins Alex.
Yes.
It's that, like, Mr. President song. And then he also says the line later, like, once you're the – he's like, I'm not chief. And he goes, once you're president, you're always Mr. President.
Yeah. Like, I was like, what is happening in this episode? Look at it. And he's like dancing when he goes to go scrub. Like,
yeah, in the back. Like, yeah. I just love him.
And, oh, it was also cute too. So Sophia falls off the couch and Mark makes Karev like do a CT scan on her and stuff. And then comes back and it's like, she's not crying.
This
like,
part was great.
Yeah. And then Karev is like, dude, she's not crying because she likes you. Like, you're a good dad and she's happy around you. And he flicks her and she starts crying.
He goes, like, there, she's crying.
Yeah, like, she's fine. And I thought that was really sweet for Mark to realize, like, oh, I'm a good dad.
Right, that's why she's happy.
Yeah.
Also, Karev had, like, a crazy face. He's like, there, she's crying. You know, when he gets, like, kind of nuts.
Yeah.
I also had a random note, and I think it's in the first episode, that I love when Arizona is pretending to talk to Alex and then falls asleep. Yeah. She's like, sorry, it's so boring that I, like, literally couldn't get through it.
The thing about the guys, that patient's ear being ripped off, I have, like, 8 notes about, like, how uncomfortable that made me.
That man? Or the fact his ear was
gone? His ear was gone, and that they were going to put the ear in the abdomen. I was like, medicine is wild. But, like, also just, it kept coming back to, like, your ear being gone just seemed terrible. Like, that would... What would that do for sound?
It would, I don't know. It'd be painful. Let's ask George Weasley.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sorry. And
then a big part that we didn't really talk about in this last episode is Chief keeps telling people, you need to find a way to start feeling the joy again.
Yes.
Karev walks out and like Avery and Chief are like working together. And then Avery's like, he's not feeling the joy. And Chief is like, nope. And then later on... Where's the line about it? Chief says to Karev, and I thought this was so sad because this is like obviously about Adele. He says, sometimes you can't see the joyful part of your life until it's over. And so like when you were talking about last episode or like the one before this about how Chief doesn't seem like he's upset by any of this. Like he's happy to be spending time with his wife. I think that's true, but I also think he realizes it's like a little
late.
It's late.
Yeah, I think so too.
And so he's trying to like be joyful in any way that he can because he doesn't really have his wife anymore.
Yeah.
Or he's losing his wife to Alzheimer's.
And yeah, I agree. I agree 100% with that statement. It made me really sad. And just the fact that she didn't eat her lunch.
Yeah, I know. And then I don't know if I have some random notes, but nothing really.
You can save it if you want.
Oh, well, Mark lets Avery take the lead.
I had that too.
He lets him sew the ear back on.
Yes.
So, and after he does that, that's when he comes out to the deck.
Right.
It's like, I'm working with Avery and...
I'm excited for their bromance to flourish.
I know.
Because then isn't Avery still doing plastics?
Yes. And I just have a lot of notes about them. Like hammering shit. Also, I thought it was funny that Karev called Derek a douche.
Yes.
Such a douche.
Yep.
And yeah. I have a line in the first episode about how Meredith was not very nice to Owen, but I don't know what that's about.
I can't remember that either.
Also, Richard talks to his lunch.
Yes.
he talked to his sandwich.
Dude, he ate alone
for years.
And I'll
see you later today.
He ate alone for years.
Yeah.
Let's remember that. Yeah. I don't have any other notes.
Can we split notes in trivia?
Sure. I'll read the first one.
Okay.
Do you feel like it's fun to read the longer notes in trivia?
Of course it is. Why is it?
I don't know.
You feel the same way, don't you?
Yeah, but I read the longer monologue. The monologue being longer isn't as fun.
But I also feel like you read the longer notes in trivia last week.
I did. You let me. You said, why don't you take it? And I felt happy.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about that.
I think it's because I don't read them ahead of time.
I don't either. And so it's like exciting to share them. Yeah.
Okay. Take the Lead. The episode's title originated from the song Take the Lead, originally sung by Bone Thugs and Harmony. The episode scored 10.2 million viewers. The residents wonder if a pig has an appendix. The answer, which is not given, is that pigs do not have one.
Interesting.
Richard Webber is seen wearing his chief of surgery coat throughout the episode while he officially resigned at the beginning.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. They didn't give him a new one yet.
No. This episode's title originated from the song What Is It About Men, originally sung by Amy Winehouse. Rest in peace. This episode scored, 8.7 million viewers.
We're going
really
down.
Took a
I
hit.
I bet you Netflix is out.
Yeah. It is an episode centered on the male characters with women acting as supportive cast. This is the only episode of the eighth season not to have Meredith Grey narrate at least part of the voiceover. In the episode, Derek is building a deck for his house with the help of other men. Basic construction logic dictates that the deck would be built after and around the house, which was not the case in this episode. We kind of talked about that last week, too.
Right. How why he started with the fireplace.
Yeah. A patient mentions the Song of Ice and Fire series. That series is series of books gained worldwide fame earlier in 2011 as the television series based on the books Game of Thrones became wildly popular.
Oh, may it rest in peace. I
miss
it.
Alex's line about the bears in the woods is a reference to the episode Tainted Obligation when he encountered a bear upon leaving the trailer. I thought that too. Lexi's appearance is very brief and she's only seen through a window.
She wasn't in the last episode either.
No. Teddy appears with no lines.
Goof.
We love a goof. While Alex is writing his paper on the African project, you can see that he says that the patients ranged in age from 18 months to 18 years. This is clearly an error as Zola Gray Shepherd was part of the first round of patients and she was said to have been 6 months old at the time. Huh. Interesting.
Cute. They call her Zola Gray Shepherd.
Yeah.
Catherine, do you have a different nomination?
No, I like this.
Okay. I said chief. I said he's teaching everybody. He's excited about surgery. He's found the joy. He's
found
happy
the
with
joy.
His decision. He's leaving Adele dinner or lunch. He's talking about his feelings. He's the only man that wasn't at that building session or one of the only ones. And he was like telling Bailey how he was feeling. He was telling Meredith. He was teaching them. He was
teaching Kareb, teaching Avery. Yeah.
He's in touch with his feelings at this moment. There are times he's not.
Yes, but in this moment. Yeah, I think. He got it last week, too.
I know. He's just on a roll.
Yeah. Maybe he just didn't need to be chief anymore.
No. And also, isn't he not chief for a while?
I don't know that he's ever chief again.
Oh, was he not chief?
I don't think he's ever chief again.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Why doesn't he retire?
I don't know. Why are we still calling him chief?
Yeah, isn't that funny?
But I guess he was for 8 seasons.
Do they call him chief ever?
No, I think they call him Richard.
Oh.
Or Dr. Webber.
That's so weird. He is forever chief in my head, though.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I should start not doing that.
You should be maybe Dr. Webber or Webber.
Yeah. And rating, I gave it 7, but I'm feeling more towards what you said. But after
I did 7.5.
Yeah. I liked it. I didn't really cry. I did like the Derek Meredith conversation.
Yeah. I think that's why I gave it a little bit higher. I would have probably given it a 7, but I think you're right. That, maybe the man episode doesn't hold up as much anymore.
It just feels like they made it seem radical to talk about your feelings.
Yes.
And I feel like nowadays they would make it where they just do and that
right.
They wouldn't even use the phrase man up, I don't think.
No. And maybe that shows us how far we've come. But right. Grey's Anatomy was trying to have
trying
a conversation.
I agree. I also think gender is so much less black and white now than it was back then.
I mean, I think gender was always less black and white, but
Yes, you're right. But media didn't...
Yeah, portray that.
Exactly.
Yes.
So, yeah. So anyways, great episode.
Yeah. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. 5 scalpels, please.
Yes.
And visit Patreon, www.patreon.com/theoncallroom. Any other
And if you're
thoughts?
In the group, we'd love if you'd want to discuss this episode and if you had any thoughts on it, too. So let us know.
Yeah.
We love you so much. Who wants to call time of death?
You could do it.
Okay. Time of death is, you think this will get easier, 2042.
Beep.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.